This is Front Page Sunday from WKMS News. I'm Chad Lampe.
And I'm Todd Hatton. This past Monday, WKMS News brought you a live discussion of the pros and cons of a proposal on the ballot this fall to consolidate the governments of Paducah and McCracken County. I moderated the conversation between McCracken County Judge Executive Van Newberry and Paducah businessman John Williams Jr. at Murray State's Crisp Center in Paducah, and we present it today, edited for time. Judge Newberry will speak against the proposal. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
John Williams Jr. will speak for the merger. I do need to mention that Mr. Williams is an underwriter of WKMS and serves on the station's community advisory board. Welcome to you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you.
Before we went on the air, we flipped a coin to see who would go first. Judge Newberry won the toss and graciously chose to go second, so we'll begin with you, Mr. Williams. What do you see as the biggest challenge for Paducah and McCracken County, and how will your position for merger address that?
There's no question. It's got to do with jobs and growth. If you look back over the last 35 years, we have only grown 624 jobs in McCracken County. That's 18 a year. And obviously, that's not a sustainable rate that would keep our taxes low. You know, you've got to have growth or the cost per taxpayer goes up. And then we have a looming possible loss of our 1,200 jobs at USEC. That's almost double. We'll lose almost double what it's taken us 35 years to grow. So how does merger help that? It gives us a one voice. It would move us from the 15th and falling town in the Commonwealth to number three and rising. It would make us one of three communities of our size of this structure. It would put us in a position as progressive and more or less getting the attention of those who could be bringing those jobs.
Judge Newberry, your response.
Well, merger of local governments in the United States is very unpopular in this country. There's almost 3,200 counties in the United States, and in the last 100 years, there's probably been 28 mergers. So as you can see, it's certainly not a trend. There's probably a good reason for that. Hundreds and hundreds of these communities have considered merger, studied merger, and very few of them have done it. And the reason for that is merger is not a magic wand. When you look at it, you really don't see that merger does a lot of positive things. In fact, just about anything that anyone does say about positive about merger is anecdotal. It's not based on facts. We've seen communities that have merged, for example, Nashville and Davidson County and Lexington and Fayette County and Indianapolis. Actually, if you look at their census population growth rates, they slow down after merger. Now, there may be a lot of different reasons for that, but they certainly do. You know, McCracken County's population is larger today than it's ever been in its history since 1825. In fact, McCracken County is the only county, and this includes Callaway County down in the Murray area, is the only county that's never experienced negative growth. The city of Paducah, on the other hand, which population is counted in McCracken County's growth, has not had positive population growth since the 1950s. Now, will merger reverse that and make it grow? I don't think so. After looking at it for 2.5 years on the study group, I don't see how it will.
There have been several studies, including ones from the Pennsylvania Economy League and the Indiana Policy Review Foundation, that have said that since there hasn't been as much research done on consolidation, the cases of merged governments should perhaps more appropriately be taken on a case-by-case basis. And that makes me wonder, how instructive has the existing research been? I mean, is it appropriate to compare Paducah and McCracken County to cities like Nashville and Louisville and Lexington? Mr. Williams?
Well, I want to go back to some things that the judge alluded to. If this was about winning a popularity contest, I don't think we would be talking about merger. But there are things that are difficult to do that are very worthy, like people that apply to go to some of our higher education institutions or our service academies. Very few people get in. It's still something that you want to do. What we're trying to do is to be unique, to be more efficient, to bring in more jobs, and to spur growth. To the question of are there parallels, if you've driven through Nashville or Lexington or Louisville, you know that those are growing, thriving communities. There are lessons to be learned out of those mergers. If we simply had the growth rate in jobs that Lexington Fayette County has had since they've done it, we would have 13,000 more jobs here since 1976. We have 624. We've got to be doing something different. Since the judge took office, we have lost 784 net jobs in McCracken County. That's not the right direction to go.
Judge Newberry?
Well, John's point is that those communities have grown. Of course they've grown. So has ours. But their growth rates have slowed down after they merged. They were vibrant cities before they merged. I mean, one of the reasons Nashville and Lexington, let's take Lexington, Kentucky, for example. Lexington outnumbered its city voters and voted merger in the 70s, but its growth rate was probably around 20% per decade before merger, and since then it's been half that. So they're still growing at 10%. They're not growing at 20%, so they slowed down after merger. That's something certainly we don't want to see here. If we pass merger here, I think John alluded to the fact that instead of being the 15th largest city in the Commonwealth, Paducah would be the third in rising. Well, I'm not sure how you can say third in rising. It may be third in population if you claim population all the way to Ballard County and Graves County and Marshall County, but there's no reason or no belief that I've seen or no facts that show the county would continue to grow or grow at a faster population after merger. So third in rising, yeah, it'd be third, but it'd be third with an asterisk.
Hmm. One of the more common objections to merger that I've run across is the notion that a consolidated government will raise taxes for county residents to offset debts for the city of Paducah. But the proposal on the table says those tax rates are going to remain the same for the respective districts, what they are when this plan is enacted, for 5 years. And if they're raised any sooner, it's going to be to pay for new services a district incurs. Why do you think that's not really getting to people? Is it a failure of messaging or of just people allergic to even just the mention of the word taxes? Mr. Williams.
I think people are allergic to the word taxes. I think the message that we're trying to get out is that if you don't have any growth, your cost per taxpayer continually goes up, and that's exactly what's been happening. What I really fear, I mean, I understand there's a fear of an unknown here, and that part of the reason people may be against merger is they're just afraid of it. What I'm afraid of is what happens when we lose those 1,200-plus jobs and we lose our growth, your cost per taxpayer goes up even faster. Hmm. We end up being a dying community. Taxes are very important, but the cost per taxpayer is going up if we don't do something about it.
You are listening to a rebroadcast of our October 8th discussion of the proposal to merge the governments of the city of Paducah and McCracken County. I spoke with McCracken County Judge Executive Van Newberry, who opposes merger, and Paducah businessman John Williams Jr., who supports it. This is a recorded interview, so please hold your questions.
Well, Judge Newberry, do you think that people's work concerns about taxes in the county are founded?
Probably. They probably are. You know, the bottom line is that after merger, there will be pressure. If merger does pass, you'll have this new government. It'll be a larger government, and it will be people from different districts and then some at large and all that. But there will be pressure on that new government to equalize the tax burden on the city and county residents, because they won't recognize that boundary as much as they do now. You know, and the argument for tax equalization will not be about the fact that you got streetlights or you got sidewalks or you got paid firefighters or Human Rights Commission. The argument for a more equal tax rate will be based on the fact that there are shared burdens, such as the debt, mm-hmm. between the two groups of people. So the new government, this new merged government, will have to face that reality of having people constantly saying there needs to be a little more equalization here.
Today, over half the tax dollars being spent in McCracken County are being spent by the city, and over half the taxes being spent by the city come from people who do not live in the city. When you merge, we are looking for efficiencies. Today, we have a deputy judge and a city manager. We have two heads of HR. We have two heads of inspection. The idea is to create efficiencies so that the cost of government is in check going forward. Just because we merged doesn't mean there's any more debt for anyone. And the people in the county who work in the city or get services in the city or shop in the city are paying for those city costs today.
Well, we've had a question from an email question from Elaine Spalding, who is president of the Paducah Area Chamber of Commerce. She writes, what is the percent of debt to the respective budgets for both the city and the county? Can either of you speak to that?
If you take the debt service, in other words, how much in bonds that each government is paying per their budget, today the McCracken County debt is 95% of their annual income, and the city of Paducah is 77%. Hmm. And that's changed within the last year with the new Murray State deal.
Mm-hmm. We've also had an email question from Dr. Bill Murphy, who lives in McCracken County, works in Paducah, and is on this topic. He writes that I pay about twice as much in payroll taxes to the city as I do county property taxes, but I cannot vote for or against this Paducah City Council that is responsible for collecting and spending my payroll tax money. How can we remedy this problem of taxation without representation if we continue to have two separate governmental bodies that both tax county citizens? Mr. Williams, how does your position address that concern?
That's part of the premise is that we need to all have control of the taxes. Mm-hmm. If we merge, then the government will be levying. Everyone will get to elect the people who are levying taxes and spending their money. Mm-hmm. Today, that is not the case.
Judge?
Well, obviously, I am someone who live out in the county, and I pay payroll tax in the city as county judge working at the courthouse. But believe you me, there is representation with that taxation. You can go to the city commission meeting and introduce yourself as, I do not live here in the city, but I do pay city taxes. Mm-hmm. And you will probably get as much attention or love from that city commission as any city resident does.
But you don't have a vote.
But you can decide who gets elected. You can make those contributions, and you can work for and against those people, other than you don't have a vote. But neither do people in Leadbetter or Metropolis or Calvert City that work in the city of Paducah or a Todd Hatton that comes here and works.
Well, how will this hypothetical consolidated government, speaking to the issue of debt, level up government employees? For instance, bringing sheriff deputies up to the pay grades of city police. Mr. Williams.
That particular issue you just alluded to with the sheriff deputies, I think that exists with or without merger. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue that the judge is having to deal with now. I think they did more than the average raise this year trying to get that back up. Mm-hmm. But as you go into a transition and as you go forward looking for the efficiencies in government, you don't have any fewer miles of streets to pave, but you have a much larger capacity. The same way when we put together the joint sewer agency or when you see businesses merge for various efficiencies, you'll try to find those across government. And that's exactly the experience other merged governments have found, whether you are in larger places like Louisville or in smaller places like Athens, Georgia, or Suffolk, Virginia.
Mm. So what you're telling me is that the savings is going to offset that?
You've got some political decisions to make, but my point about the sheriff's deputies is the judge has to deal with that with or without merger.
Right.
That doesn't go away.
Mm. Do you foresee any problems, Judge Newberry, that on down the road with that particular issue, bringing the various departments up to the higher pay grades?
Well, it's been typical that county employees of the McCracken County make less on average than their city counterparts mm-hmm. do. Certainly the law enforcement is a good area to look at for that. And what happens with the new government is there'll be even more pressure on a single government that has both employees. And you'll have to remember the city law enforcement Paducah police will then become the county police, and they will be a collective bargaining unit. They are now, and I assume they will be in the future. The sheriff's department are at-will employees, and what's going to happen is you're going to see sheriff's department employees coming to that new government saying, we're doing the same jobs, and in fact, sheriff's department, we've looked at that pretty closely. During a regular shift, they actually probably receive more calls out of central dispatch than your typical policeman in the city per person. So in some ways, you might even say they may have to even work harder for less money. So they're going to go to that new government, and they're going to say, is this fair? And what's going to happen is, do you think the new government will cut the salaries of the Paducah police officers? I certainly don't think so. They'll probably try to raise up the sheriff's department, and it will cost the new government more money.
But isn't that the issue the sheriff went public this year during your budgeting process and said this is a major morale problem today. They lost five or more to the city of Benton last year, and you've got a turnover. I mean, I don't understand how merger makes that any different.
Probably doesn't, in the sense that a single government is going to be faced by both groups. One an at-will group, one a collective bargaining group. As it is now, the only thing that I have to look at is an elected official like the sheriff who has autonomy and his employees. They're not collective bargaining.
When we come back, we'll continue our rebroadcast of the October 8th debate between Paducah businessman John Williams Jr. and McCracken County Judge Executive Van Newberry on the proposed merger of the Paducah and McCracken County governments. You're listening to Front Page Sunday from WKMS News. You're listening to Front Page Sunday from WKMS News. We continue our rebroadcast of the October 8th discussion of the proposal to consolidate the Paducah and McCracken County governments.
There was a recent article in Forbes magazine that talked about migratory patterns, domestic migratory patterns, people moving from city to city to city. And they say that people aren't moving as far as they used to in order to keep their destination communities more economically vibrant. They're not going to high-cost areas. Do you think that that McCracken County, Paducah, do you think it's benefiting from that in this economic climate? Do you think that it could benefit from that in this economic climate?
That's a good question. John?
I guess what I've observed is in the last decade, McCracken County has grown less than 0.1% for that entire 10-year period. Mm-hmm. So what I find is basically net outflow.
Well, actually, the city of Paducah lost 1,249 people in the last decade, and the McCracken County outside of the city of Paducah gained 1,300. So there's something going on there between the county and the city. So we did have quite a few people move out of the county and locate in the city. Not all of them, because we do have some inflow from other places.
I was about to ask, I mean, how much of that do you think are people coming from outside of either?
Certainly, once again, our geographical location or the remoteness of it is a double-edged sword. We have a great medical community here. We have two big hospitals. We got a lot of physicians, a lot of doctor's offices, and we are also a retail center. And a lot of these people, I assume, and it looks to me, talking to other county judges, that we're seeing a lot of farmers who have retired and moved closer to be near those things. So they have moved as far, maybe not into the city of Paducah, but they are moving into the rural areas of the county.
But you're only talking about a growth of 51 people over 10 years. Hmm. I mean, I don't think that we can establish a migratory pattern off of 51 people in a county of 60-something thousand people.
If merger is not approved, or if you don't think that it's needed, how does Paducah McCracken County improve? The census figures show that McCracken's growth has remained relatively flat, or it's inched up. Paducah's either plateaued or dropped. So I suppose my question to you, Judge Newberry, is the status quo working? And if it isn't, what else can we do if the merger isn't approved?
Well, if McCracken County and the city are any indicators of what to do and what not to do to encourage population growth, the answer is pretty clear. I mean, people have voted with their feet for the last 50 years by moving out of the city of Paducah and into the unincorporated areas of the county. You know, when asked why they move out of the city, many of these citizens will tell you there's several factors that influence them. The county's tax rates are lower compared to the city of Paducah. Another factor is the city certainly is more stringent in regulation and code enforcement. They do a lot of things we just simply don't do out in the county. Mm-hmm. A third factor was that people perceived the crime rate was lower in the county than the city. So using this as a guide, we probably, in order to keep our growth out in the county and to help growth in the city, we need to keep the taxes competitive with other communities. City of Paducah is going to have to take a look at that. They're going to have to balance regulation with common sense. We just talked about the inspection department being more business friendly. And we also need to keep our crime rates low. You know, we do those things and people will want to live here and our population will grow. You know, and that population, that growing population, is going to need jobs. So how do we keep and create jobs? I think the same factors apply. You know, you need to keep that low tax burden that's competitive, common sense regulations, and low crime rates, you know. And if we keep these factors as our priorities, I think McCracken County will continue its record of positive growth, and they'll drag the city along with them.
Mm-hmm. But, Judge, we're only talking about growth of 51 people over 10 years. That's hardly a, you know, whether it's the crime rate or all that, it's simply not working. Since you've been in office, county government has spent over $1.5 million on economic development alone. The city has spent the same, and we've lost 784 jobs. We're about to have a loss of a plant of 1,200 jobs and probably Shawnee Steam Plant with it. That's another 250. How are we going to make up that difference? This just working hard like we have been doing is failing.
And I disagree with that, John. The county has been growing. It grew by over 1,300 people. It's the city of Paducah that we're seeing population loss and
Judge,
and
I live in the county,
losses.
Too.
I understand that.
When you count population, you have to count the city.
I understand that, John. But what we're doing is we're comparing two different governments and two different attitudes. And I think that if we do those factors. Now, if people think that we can wave the magic wand of merger, where it hasn't worked in just about any other community that I'm aware of, that we studied You know, vote for it and see. But merger, if merger was easy to do, we'd certainly see a lot more communities do it than just less than 1% of the total counties in this country in the last 200 years. And I was talking to an economic development guy the other day that was looking at locating a company here, and we talked about merger. And I said, how do you think the merger of the city and the county would affect your decision to locate here? And his answer was, I'm not sure how it would. What does it do different? Does it change my market? Does it change your energy costs? Does it change your geographical location? Does it change your labor shed and your availability of skilled labor? And his answer was, it doesn't change any of those things. He said, do I make one less phone call when I call the city or the county? And I kind of agreed with him. I thought those were good answers. So,
but that avoided the question of what are you going to do different to avoid the problem that we've got?
The county government has been keeping an eye on taxes. We've been trying to keep them low. We've been lowering our property tax rates for sure. We certainly have tried to work more on crime rates. I mean, I've reduced the number of people in my office, my own office, from what the previous administration, simply to hire more deputy sheriffs out there to try to keep that crime rate low. The first thing I did when we went in office is we did a pretty extensive study on how we did building codes out in the county. We had contractors, we had people who had recently built homes, we had realtors, we had engineers that looked at it, and they made a lot of recommendations, and we've been following those recommendations. And I believe today that we're a lot more business friendly with those regulations than we used to be. I think the city of Paducah should follow along suit with the county and try that.
Well, this is an effort to limit the growth of government, to control the cost of government, to take us from two bodies that can levy tax and spend and lay ordinances down to one, two to one. And when it comes down to it again, Judge, you've done all those things. We've lost 780 jobs.
Well, gentlemen, we're reaching the end of our time, so we'll go straight to closing statements. Judge Newberry?
Well, you know, once again, if merger is not going to help growth and job creation, what will? And merger, you know, it's the best you can say for it is it does really nothing. You know, other than the fact it will create a much larger government. And the pro-merger people are saying that this larger government is going to be more efficient. Well, you know, you can look at the federal government and state government and see if you believe that. But it will create a larger government. You know, and once again, McCracken County and the city of Paducah, if there are indicators of what to do and what not to do to encourage population growth, the answer is pretty clear. The county has grown by over 1,300 people in the last 10 years, and the city has shrank by 1,249. People have voted with their feet for the last 50 years by moving out of the city of Paducah. Now, when asked why they moved out of the city, once again, they give you those answers. The tax rates are higher in the city compared to the county. The city has more stringent regulations and code enforcement. And a third factor was that people perceived the crime rate lower in the county than the city. That's why the county's population rate was growing. So using these as a guide, we certainly need to keep our taxes competitive with other communities. We need to balance regulation with common sense. And we need to keep those crime rates low. You know, if we do those things, people will want to live here and our population will grow. And thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Williams.
This is about jobs, it's about growth, it's about keeping taxes and government limited. What's happened in McCracken County for the last 35 years is stagnant while our Commonwealth and our nation have moved forward. Since 1976, we've averaged only 18 jobs a year growth in a county of 65,000 people. If we just had the growth rate of something like Fayette County, where it is consolidated, we would have over 13,000 jobs. That would keep our kids here so they don't move away for work. And when it comes time for our kids to take care of us, we don't end up dying somewhere else. You don't hear the anti-side saying that the present system is fair tax-wise because it isn't. You don't hear them saying the present system is more democratic. It isn't. Or more effective or efficient. It isn't. Status quo is not going to get us growth or jobs or keep a limit on the cost of government. We need to be doing something as bold as what Vice President Barkley and Union Carbide did here when they built the plant that we're about to lose. We haven't been able to create that many jobs in over 35 years. We need it.
Well, we've reached the end of our time. Our thanks to McCracken County Judge Executive Ann Newberry and Mr. John Williams, Jr. for coming on to talk to us about this. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear the October 8th Paducah-McCracken County Merger Forum again, you can find it, along with the rest of WKMS News' political coverage, online at WKMS.org. Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. Why do you see it your way? There's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend.
On Friday, candidates for Kentucky's 2nd District State House of Representatives met for the second of our five planned forums this month. Democrat Kelly Whitaker and Republican Richard Heath join me for a forum on issues facing the 2nd District, which encompasses all of Graves County and Southern McCracken. Well, we're first going to start with Mrs. Whitaker. I'd like to ask you why you've decided to run for office. You're a practicing pharmacist in Graves County, so tell us more.
That is correct. You know, I never would have imagined that I would be running for political office, and I actually started as a concerned parent and then a community activist a few years ago when our Graves County School Board and the Kentucky Department of Education had decided to close two of our rural elementary schools. I joined with other concerned parents at that time, and we took on the entrenched politicians and the bureaucrats in Frankfort, and we led the fight that eventually saved our schools. You know, after that battle, I was motivated to run for and join the Graves County School Board, and I was elected to that office. And after getting on the school board, I took a lot of interest in the legislative process as it dealt with the public education system. So I spent a lot of time going over the laws that pertain to public school and spent some time in Frankfort lobbying for all of Kentucky's school children. And during that process, I spent some days shadowing Fred Nessler because I saw an interest. I saw a passion growing in me for this type of service for my community. And I spent some days shadowing him. So actually, my decision to run for this office was made some 9 months before Fred even announced that he was not running for re-election. So it was kind of comical the day that he announced that he was no longer going to run for this office. I had probably 20 different people call me at the pharmacy and say, okay, let's go. You know, we know you're going to do this because I had discussed it with family and friends for quite some time. And I just feel that passion to be a leader and to bring good things back for our community and try to make government more accountable to our taxpayers.
And the school board election was nonpartisan, so why did you pick the Democratic ticket for this race?
Well, I didn't pick the Democratic ticket for this race. I've been a registered Democrat since I've lived here in Graves County. I became a Democrat because I believe that the Democratic Party is the party that best represents a equal opportunity for all. It levels the playing field, and primarily through public education. The Democratic Party nationally, I believe, has left the Western Kentucky Democrats. I am not a very partisan person normally. I like to work with both parties, whether it's Democrats or Republican. I believe we have to set aside those differences and work together so that we can accomplish things.
Mr. Heath, the same question. What prompted you to run for this office? A small business owner in Mayfield, and now you're on the Republican ticket.
Thank you, Chad. A few years ago when Rand Paul was running for an office, and I had followed him fairly closely, I liked what he had to say, and I volunteered, got involved on a small scale, doing phone calls, yard signs, fundraisers, and that put a burn in me to get involved on a state level. And I told my wife at that time, I said, I wish there was a place I could get involved. And then lo and behold, Fred Nessler puts an article in the paper December 22nd that he's not going to run for re-election. The next two nights, I couldn't sleep for thinking about it. So I let Christmas go by, talked to my wife about it and our kids. And then called Stephen Rudy, who's the representative from District 1, and I said, can you tell me everything that I need to know about running for this office and what's involved should I get elected? And we had a good visit with that, and he did go into a lot of detail and explain exactly how much time was involved, what I would be expected to do, what I would need to do to run. And then actually took my pastor and his wife out to supper and talked with them about it and confirmed that this is what I need to be doing.
And why the Republican ticket?
I was born in a Democratic household and grew up under listening to my dad talk politics a little bit. He came from a farm background, worked at the Merrick Clothing Company and farmed. So we weren't just a real heavy into politics. But as I became an adult and started following myself, following presidential debates and politics, you know, from my point of view, about 10 years ago, I realized that I hadn't voted Democrat since Jimmy Carter. He was the last president that I voted for Democrat, and I was consistently voting Republican because they more aligned with my views. So I ended up switching to the Republican Party just because that was the way I was voting, and I had no indication at that time that I would be running for office one day. But now that I am running for office, I'm really glad to be running on the Republican ticket.
And both of you have made jobs a top priority for your campaigns. Right. And Mr. Heath, I wanted to ask you, as a small business owner, and both of you work in the private sector, as a matter of fact, Mr. Heath, what can state government do to help grow jobs in the 2nd District? Specifically, let's talk about the Purchase Region Industrial Park.
Right. The best thing that can happen for that Purchase Regional Park is for I-69 to come on through. I attended a Chamber of Commerce breakfast here a month or so ago there in Mayfield. And the speaker talked about the I-69 and the importance it played to Western Kentucky. And what I learned from that was the when an industry is looking for a place to locate a manufacturer, they hire people to and give them a want list. And these people go out and search the United States and try to find the place that fulfills that want list. What we found out was that the guys that are fulfilling this want list, they don't know what a purchase parkway is. They know what an interstate is. So the fact that the purchase parkway runs through the middle of Mayfield does not help us land jobs. When that changes from purchase parkway to I-69, that will have a whole new meaning to the people that are in the decision-making process, and that will help us to attract jobs.
Do you think that's a magic bullet, just the interstate, the I-69 name and the road?
No, that's just one piece to the puzzle. There's several more pieces that we're going to have to bring to the table, and that's something that'll take some time and effort, but that's just a start.
Mrs. Whitaker, the same question. Again, jobs a top priority for your campaign. If you could talk a bit about how you would propose growing jobs in the 2nd District and specifically at the Purchase Region Industrial Park, which is a mega site.
Well, as I mentioned before, that I learned from my experience with the Department of Education and the local school board that to get things done, you have to set aside your partisan differences and you have to work together. And that's what I intend to do. You know, I will partner with Governor Beshear and work with him and across the party lines, not work against him or against the other party, but work with the party, both parties, of local state officials to see that we sell our area. I believe that for too long, the Golden Triangle, you know, Frankfort, Louisville, Cincinnati area, have been getting a little bit more attention than perhaps they deserve. West Kentucky has the railways, the highways, we have the waterways, we have the skilled trained workforce, we have Murray State, we have West Kentucky Tech Community College. We have everything it takes to attract businesses here. I believe we need someone out there selling us and fighting for us, and I will be that candidate for us.
And what case will you make? Because this is an empty industrial park right now, if by and large part. And what aspects of this park will you try to sell?
Well, you know, there are parks throughout the United States. Every community, every little group has parks. What we need to be selling is our quality of life. We have the lakes. We have great recreation. We have some of the best school systems in Kentucky, let alone in the nation. We need to be selling those factors that, you know, will make people want to bring their families here to live and to create homes for, rather than just thinking about the park or the actual site. We need to sell what we have in addition to that, the quality of life.
You're listening to a candidate forum between Kentucky's 2nd District Statehouse candidates, Republican Richard Heath and Democrat Kelly Whitaker. We'll be back with more from this forum, including the candidates' differing plans for pensions for state lawmakers. This is Front Page Sunday from WKMS News. We're back with a special rebroadcast of our 2nd District Statehouse candidate forum between Democrat Kelly Whitaker and Republican Richard Heath. The 2nd District encompasses all of Graves County and southern McCracken.
Well, let's talk about just the overall state economy at this standpoint. What is state government doing well in this economy, and what can the state government do better in this economy, and how?
I think that the best thing that the state government has been doing under Governor Beshear's term has been the handling of the budget. He and the legislature have cut $1.3 billion worth of spending over the past 5 years. You know, that is a tremendous amount. And while he has been able to cut that money in spending, he has also been able to largely protect the education and other vital services for the elderly and the needy from those cuts. And I think that has been a tremendous asset, his leadership in that. You know, he has said many times that the easy thing to do is to cut everything 10%. Politics is not about the easy thing to do. Our citizens deserve better than the easy thing to do. We deserve what is best for our communities. And, you know, sometimes you have to make the tough decisions for that. But we always need to protect our education, our public education system, and the funding for that, and for the vital services that so many of our citizens need.
And what can state government do better in the coming years?
Well, when I think about what our state government has done poorly, it goes back to the economic development that we were just speaking about. I don't believe we have been attracting the businesses. I don't believe we have been promoting Kentucky as a wonderful place to live. I believe that we've kind of dropped the ball on that, and it's probably due to lack of attention to that area.
Mr. Heath, the same question. What has the state government been doing well in the economy, and what could it do better and how?
The part I appreciate the most is the fact that they have continued to fund the I-69 project, because I see that as being our link to the outside world. And I appreciate the support that we've gotten out of Frankfort on that to push that project on through. The flip side of that is, if you follow some of the articles that you read in the paper and whatever, according to a report put out by Barron, Kentucky is one of the worst-run states in the nation. We're ranked right up there with Illinois. And just to give you a few examples of that off of their report, the unfunded pension liability in Kentucky, when you compare it to the gross domestic product, it's at 10.3%. To compare that with Tennessee, 1.5%, a huge difference. Kentucky is ranked third on that area, right behind Illinois and New Mexico. Also, the Kentucky bond rating has gone from AA-, and we're tied third worst for that behind Illinois and California. Tennessee is near the top. Debt, we're at 5.4% of our gross domestic product, and we're tied for fifth worst. So thank goodness for Illinois, you know, that somebody is worse than we are. But those are the kind of things that are going to have to improve. And when you ask me about bringing industry in, there's several more pieces to the puzzle. I-69 is just one piece. These are some of the issues that we've got to address to bring those figures into line. If we're going to compete with Tennessee for jobs, then we're going to have to make our state more business friendly and get our budget in order, get our house in order, and attract industry. I don't think they're going to take a serious look at us when we're ranking in the bottom part of the charts that we should be at the top of.
Well, let's talk about the pension system that you just brought up. It is, you're correct, it's been cited by many different economists as one of the weakest in the country because of its massive unfunded liabilities. What would you do to fix the state pension system?
There's all kinds of proposals out there over the board, and I'm going to share some that has come from the Republican Party and also from the Chamber of Commerce. It's a combination of the two. And one of the solutions, and this came from the Kentucky State Chamber of Commerce, was to reduce the health insurance cost. Public employee health insurance has increased by 200% since the year of 2000. And that alone makes up about half of what would be required for the pension contribution. The Kaiser Family Foundation reports that the average annual premium for employer-provided single health coverage in Kentucky is around $4,700. For state employee provided health insurance, same scenario, $7,000. That's a huge difference. The other thing is to freeze the cost of living. It's at 1.5 right now. They've already froze it temporarily. It needs to be made a permanent freeze until the pension is better funded. Of course, move away from the defined contribution plan to a defined, I've got that right backwards, move to a defined contribution plan and away from the defined benefit plan to a 401k style plan. And that would address the Kentucky employee part of it. On the legislature side, I favor no full-time pensions for part-time employees. And given the chance, I will opt out myself. I tell people I make my living in Western Kentucky. I'm going to Frankfort to make a difference. I'm not interested in their pension plan. I have my own retirement plan already in place.
Ms. Whitaker, the same question. What would you do to fix the state pension system?
Well, I believe that the first thing we need to do to make government more accountable is to make the politicians accountable. For example, I am the only candidate in this race who has been publicly opposing the use of taxpayers' dollars to fund the pensions for the part-time legislators until today. Today's the first day I've heard Richard say that. As a matter of fact, I know that a couple weeks ago, the Republicans, including Mr. Heath, met in Frankfort for their Republican platform and announced that they wanted a matching 401k style of pension for the legislators. And, you know, I said earlier I'm not a party line tower, Democrat or Republican. I think that's a start, but the taxpayers of Kentucky cannot afford either one, either the fully funded pension that they already have or the silver-plated 401k style pension that Mr. Heath and the other Republicans proposed on September 12th. I do not believe that we can afford those pensions. I believe that we need to take that money and put it back into the public employee retirement system and help shore that up. I know it's a small drop in the bucket when you consider that we are $36 billion in debt for that, and that's debt that taxpayers will be paying for a long time to come. But I believe that the first thing we need to do as politicians or as citizen legislators is that we need to show the taxpayers and the employees in the public system that we are committed, that we are going to take part in the financial sacrifices that must be made due to the situation that the current career politicians have created.
Mr. Heath, you want to respond to the meeting in September in Frankfort about it, whether or not you've endorsed a 401k-style plan for legislators?
I do. That proposal was put forth by the Senate, this District 23 candidate Chris McDaniel, and then the House 61st candidate Brian Linder. And what that says is, and I'll read it directly off the piece of paper, all state legislators will have the option to enroll in a 401k-style plan. The key word there is option. If I have the option to enroll in it, I also have the option not to enroll in it. And that's where my personal view is. I don't intend to participate in the state-funded pension plan, 401k or the one they have now. And there's nothing in there that says anything about a matching fund. So, and they also go on to say...
So it would be essentially your contribution invested with I guess, however, that the state will invest the pension funds.
Exactly.
So you endorse the plan, but you also would choose to opt out of that plan.
That's right. Okay. And that's the word that is being left out of the conversation, is it is an option. And then he went on to say that retiree health care will no longer be an option for legislative services. And then the following changes would take effect immediately for all new members of the legislative.
Let's talk about some proposed legislation that is either will be filed or has been filed for this upcoming legislative session. And the first one is an agriculture issue that has been championed by Senator Joey Pendleton in Hopkinsville year after year and is yet to make any headway. But now the Republican State Agriculture Commissioner Jamie Comer is behind this bill to legalize the production and growing of hemp in Kentucky. And Mr. Heath, I'd like to start with you to see where you stand on whether or not hemp should be legal in Kentucky.
We're talking about commercial hemp and not what most people think of as marijuana. And James Comer is supporting that, and I will stand behind James Comer and support that also. I trust his judgment. He's been in the legislature for a while. He's a career farmer, and I think he knows what he's talking about on that issue, and he wouldn't put it out there if he thought it wasn't good for Kentucky.
Mrs. Whitaker?
I also agree that I would be in support of industrial hemp being grown in Kentucky and being sold for industrial purposes.
Well, let's move on to closing statements now. Thank you very much both for coming in. We had a coin toss at the beginning of this this forum, and Mr. Heath won, has opted to go last. So, Mrs. Whitaker, please commence with your closing statements.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity today. I want to let the listeners know that I am proud to be a Western Kentucky Democrat. And, you know, here in the Purchase, we're a very independent sort. We're stewards of the land. We work hard, and we know the value of a dollar. We look out for one another in good times and bad. We believe in the Constitution, and we believe in government. We just don't want too much of it. I am pro-family and a woman of strong faith, and I have a concealed carry permit, so you can trust me to defend every gun owner's rights. I'm running for state representative because I believe that the career politicians in Frankfort have used government for themselves rather than for those that they swore an oath to represent. I believe that it's time we drive those money changers from the temple. I believe that with your support, we can bring real change to Frankfort. We can take back our government, and we can make it accountable to the people, the taxpayers, once again. Now, if you're tired of politics as usual, I represent this real change. I have proven my willingness to take on the Frankfort insiders, the entrenched political groups. So when I say that I will stand up and fight to take back our government and make it accountable to you, the taxpayers, the citizens, that's a promise. And down here in Western Kentucky, you know, a promise is still our bond. I do need your help to do it, though. I want to take this opportunity to personally ask every voter in Graves County and Southern McCracken County for your vote, for your support, and for your confidence. I am Kelly Whitaker, and I will be a champion for our communities, our families, and our values.
Thank you, Mrs. Whitaker. Mr. Heath, your closing statements.
Sure. You know, I was born and raised in Graves County. I grew up on a farm, farmed for approximately 10 years myself. Right out of high school, I worked at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, so I have factory experience. I have farm experience. I attended college here at Murray State University, received a B.S. in agriculture with a teaching certificate, and then finished my master's after that. Taught school 1 year, decided that wasn't my calling in life. Took a job at the Graves County Co-op as a manager trainee for 2 years, managed the co-op store for 13 years. Left that in 2000, bought my brother's business, Heath Building Material. We build pole barns all over the country and sell trusses. So I've been a small business owner for the last 12 years. I bought Dad's farm from him when I was 18 years old. I'm 57, so I've got 39 years of business experience. I'm the only candidate in the race that brings that kind of experience to this race. I can honestly say I've walked in the farmer's shoes. I know what they just went through with this drought because I experienced the same thing in 1983. I know what school teachers do when they sit at home at night and grade papers at the kitchen table so they can have them ready to hand back out the next day and do lesson plans. I know what small business owners face because I walk that every day. So I'm the only one that brings the experience to the table where I have walked in all those different shoes. I want to say I'm glad to be running on the Republican Party because we do oppose abortion. We do oppose same-sex marriage. I've been endorsed by the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, and then I've also have the highest rating that the NRA gives a candidate because they don't endorse candidates unless they're an incumbent, and that's an 8 rating. And then we have received the Kentucky Right to Life endorsement also. So I have a varied background that I think has prepared me for this place and time in my life, and I think I'm the right guy, the right place, the right time, and looking forward to going to Frankfort and bringing true Western Kentucky values to Frankfort.
Again, Democrat Kelly Whitaker, Republican Richard Heath, the 2nd District State House candidates serving Graves County and Southern McCracken County. Thank you both very much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
This forum has been edited for length for this program. You can hear the entire forum, though, at WKMS.org. Join us next Friday morning at 11 o'clock for another candidate forum featuring Kentucky's 3rd District State House candidates, Republican Jason Crockett and Democrat Gerald Watkins. We will rebroadcast that forum again here on Front Page Sunday next week. You've been listening to Front Page Sunday from WKMS News. Our correspondents are Drew Adams, Shelley Baskin, Angela Hatton, Whitney Jones, Casey Northcutt, and Dave Chenault. Kate Lochte and Tracy Ross are contributing producers, and Matt Markgraf provides website assistance.
We welcome your questions or comments about the stories you've heard today. You can email them to msu.wkmsnews@murraystate.edu, post them to our Facebook page, or tweet them to @WKMS. You can find links to all three at wkms.org. You can also hear any of today's features again. Thanks for listening.